It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Following complaints from people for the ethical treatment of animals, a U.S. Department of Agriculture inspection has called into question the Pittsburgh Zoo's practice of using herding dogs to control elephants. The USDA report indicated dogs showing aggressive behavior that caused the elephants distress. Zoo officials have not responded to our requests for an interview, but Barbara Baker, president and CEO of the Pittsburgh Zoo, did issue a statement in which she stated that, quote, "The introduction of the dogs has been a valuable tool as we continue to elevate the care and management of our elephant herd. The safety of our keepers and animals is a top priority, and we provide an additional safety level with the use of trained cattle dogs. The dogs read the behavior of the animals and alert the keepers to any disruption in the herd, preventing potential safety concerns for the staff and elephants." End quote. That statement from Pittsburgh Zoo President Barbara Baker. But the zoo's policy has many people in our community wondering about this particular method of animal management and about the proper method of caring for elephants in general. So we're turning to an expert. Margaret Whitaker is the director of elephant care at the Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, Tennessee. It's the nation's largest natural habitat refuge developed specifically to meet the needs of endangered elephants. Margaret Whitaker, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be with you.
And if you have a comment or question for our guest, you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Margaret Whitaker, what can you tell us about the use of herding dogs to manage elephants? The zoo officials here say this method of animal management in the livestock field is referred to as a low-stress method, and that these methods have been scientifically proven and recognized by the USDA as ensuring a calm and controlled interaction between the animals, in this case the elephants, the dogs, and the keepers that they work with. So do they have to resort to this type of method to protect the elephants?
No, I think this is a fairly unique situation the Pittsburgh Zoo has entered into. If you think about the traditional use of dogs, we're using them to manage domestic animals. And, of course, elephants are wild animals. So I think the zoo is in a little bit of a unique position in using dogs to manage wild animals. That being said, I have not personally witnessed their program, so I don't have a lot of direct experience. I don't have any direct experience with that, so I can't really comment on how it affects those elephants in particular. But I have seen other elephants who appear to be afraid of dogs, and also some elephants who don't seem to mind dogs. And in fact, here at the sanctuary, you may be familiar with the situation of Bella and Tara. Tara is an elephant who has formed longtime social bonds with dogs. So there are, I think, a wide variety of opportunities and history of dogs interacting with elephants. But purposefully using dogs to manage elephants is rather unique. And speaking strictly from a behavioral management operant conditioning perspective, the dogs do represent an aversive training technique for elephants. And when we're considering elephant welfare and animal welfare in general, we know that the use of positive reinforcement training is a highly effective tool to manage animals' behavior and also improve welfare.
Explain how that works. What is a positive reinforcement for the care of an elephant?
Well, reinforcement in general is anything that increases the likelihood of a desired behavior. So if I want an elephant to move from one point to another, to use positive reinforcement, I would say, elephant, come here, and I would provide a food reinforcer, perhaps, something the elephant likes, to tell them good job for coming to me. If I was to use an aversive or negative reinforcement approach, I would want the elephant to move from one point to another, and I would introduce a stimulus, something the animal can perceive. I would introduce a stimulus that the animal wants to move away from or avoid. The dog, in this case. Introduce the dog, and the elephant moves away from the dog. So I get the same behavior, the elephant moving from one point to another, but by a very different approach. So in one case, the elephant is doing something to earn something it likes, a piece of food or a treat. In another situation, the negative reinforcement, the elephant is doing a behavior, but to escape or avoid something undesirable.
And talk about the work that you do. I understand that the Elephant Sanctuary is designed specifically for old, sick, or needy elephants who've been retired from zoos and circuses. What happens at the sanctuary?
Well, it's a beautiful piece of property. The elephants have the opportunity to roam through the woods, and they can experience all different types of habitat. They can climb hills. They can stand in the meadows or pasture-like areas. They can get in the deep shade of the forest. They can stand in direct sunlight. So they have the opportunity to choose a variety of experiences. And we take in any elephants that are in need. We have both Asian and African elephants. And really, our objective is to provide a forever home for any elephant in need. Currently, the sanctuary focuses only on female elephants. We have housed one bull or male elephant before. He was confiscated by the U.S. government and brought here. Unfortunately, his condition was so bad that he did not survive very long here at the sanctuary. He was in such poor condition when we received him.
I was going to ask you why the focus on female elephants.
There are more female elephants in captivity, and there are female elephants are used much more widely in entertainment and circus venues, and so the need to retire them is greater. There's simply more females in need of placement than males. That's one reason. A second reason is containing and managing bulls is an entirely different game, if you will. Males are much larger than females. They go through a period called must where their testosterone increases, and they can become unpredictable, and their job when they're in must is to cover as much territory as they can and find as many females as they can. So they're highly motivated and can become what we like to say a little testosterone poisoned, a little crazy during that time. So the facilities to contain a bull are certainly different than what are required for a female. The management approach in how we manage elephants here at the sanctuary, and a number of zoos and other facilities use this approach as well, called protected contact training, wherein we work from the other side of some sort of barrier. And we only use positive reinforcement to directly manage the elephants. So we can provide all of the husbandry and veterinary care through positive reinforcement. And the reason that we use the barrier is it not only protects the people, but it really protects the elephants as well. Should the elephant become aggressive or frustrated during a training session or an interaction with a person, the elephant can't hurt the person because there is that barrier. And the result of that is if the elephant strikes out, becomes aggressive, we simply step back, help the elephant calm down. The elephant doesn't hurt us. We have no reason to punish or have any sort of punitive action towards the elephant. Most often we find that if an elephant's aggressive, it's fearful of a situation. And we want to be the ones to take the responsibility and help that animal overcome their fear.
What are the ways in which elephants are abused in the United States and other parts of the world?
Well, that's a very delicate question, and I think it depends a lot on how you view abuse.
Well, let me give you a specific example. Elephants in circuses, we hear quite a few horror stories about, you know, the way in which elephants are trained to do things that really go against their behavioral nature. So it ends up being sort of the opposite of what it sounds like you're doing at the sanctuary, which is positive reinforcement, that in fact in places like circuses or where elephants are trained to entertain people, that there is there's a lot of pressure, and these people that are handling them are using negative enforcement to get the elephants to do things that they wouldn't normally be inclined to do.
Right. So you're sort of raising two issues. The one is the training techniques that are used, and the second is the things that the elephants are being asked to do.
Correct.
So the training techniques that are used in traditional or what we call free contact training, where you see a person standing next to an elephant, the training tool that's used is called a bull hook or a hook or an ankus, and it's a stick with some sort of typically metal or point on the end. This is a complicated tool, the ankus, because it is used to train, cue, and teach elephants to do behaviors. And it functions as a negative reinforcer. The elephant always moves away from the point of that ankus or hook. So by nature, it is a negative reinforcement training tool. The complicated issue comes when the ankus is also used as a tool to mete out physical punishment. So you cue the elephant with the ankus. It doesn't comply. You strike the elephant with the ankus as a punisher to teach it to cooperate. So it really represents a number of things to that elephant. And again, by the nature and definition of what a negative reinforcer and a punisher are, they must be aversive to the animal. So it's a rather complicated tool. And unfortunately, it's a tool that are used by humans, and all of us, every one of us, are flawed and subject to emotion. And sometimes when we feel the animal doesn't cooperate and we just really need it to right then and there, that's when the use of that tool can slip into an abusive situation.
So when we see an elephant, putting all of its weight on its front feet, say on a, getting up on a barrel or whatever the apparatus might be, and putting one leg up in the air, and people love to see that, but that's maybe not necessarily the best thing for the elephant.
Right. So the second aspect of this constitutes abuse and what goes on with a performing circus elephant. They are being asked to do behaviors that are not natural for them and can put undue stress on their joints. I mean, we're talking about very large animals with the same bone structure that you and I have in our hands and feet and legs. And many elephants in captivity, we see degenerative joint disease because of the way they've been kept in captivity. And if elephants, big heavy animals, are standing on concrete surfaces or hard surfaces for much of their life, they don't have the opportunity to walk and exercise in a normal way. That in of itself sets up a situation where you complicate it further by having the animal do these unnatural behaviors that are even further putting additional pressure on the bones and joints and causing these degenerative joint diseases.
We're talking with Margaret.
The overall situation of captivity predisposes the elephants to these certain medical conditions, and then asking them to repeat these unnatural behaviors over and over further exacerbates the situation.
We're talking with Margaret Whitaker. She's director of elephant care at the Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, Tennessee. It's the nation's largest natural habitat refuge, developed specifically to meet the needs of endangered elephants. And our conversation was prompted by the recent issues in the news involving the Pittsburgh Zoo's practice of using herding dogs to control elephants. The organization PETA has come out against this particular practice, and there is a USDA report indicating that the dogs are showing aggressive behavior that has caused the elephants distress. If you have a comment or a question for our guest, Margaret Whitaker, you can call 412-246-2002 to take part in the conversation. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Also, you can reach us via email at ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EP Live. Margaret Whitaker, PETA has come out and said, as part of their statement, that the trend with zoos is not to allow anyone, humans or dogs, to have contact with an elephant. Are you finding this to be true?
There is a move to protect human safety by implementing what I believe the AZA, the Zoo Association, is calling restricted contact with elephants. So absolutely, there will still be hands-on interaction with the elephants. But the idea is to move away from humans and elephants sharing the same space, the same unrestricted space. And this is a move to protect human safety. To further protect and enhance elephant welfare, one would also adopt a positive reinforcement approach to training and managing elephants.
We will,
as I described, we do in here at the Tennessee Sanctuary.
And I want to talk more about what happens down at the sanctuary, and we will also take comments and questions. We do need to work in a break. We'll continue our conversation with Margaret Whitaker, who is the Director of Elephant Care at the Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, Tennessee, the nation's largest natural habitat refuge developed specifically to meet the needs of endangered elephants. The topic of elephants has been in the news of late with the Pittsburgh Zoo's practice of using herding dogs to control elephants called into question. Margaret, I was interested in a comment that you made with regard to what happens at the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee, that the elephants there are encouraged to, as you put it, live like elephants. Explain what that means exactly.
Well, I think if we focus on what some key aspects of being an elephant are, those are the things that we try to achieve here at the sanctuary. So elephants are highly social. Female elephants are rarely found alone. They live in matriarchal groups that are quite complex. Their daughters stay with them. They stay with related individuals. And the males move to the periphery of the group, but still will maintain contact. So we try to create, although it's artificial because these elephants are not actually related, we try to create a female group of elephants. So we have actually several different groups of elephants that are made up of females that seem to get along. And I think without a doubt, anyone who's been around animals and especially elephants, they do form true friendships. And we really try to nurture those friendships here at the sanctuary and help them develop. Many elephants in captivity were taken from the wild when they were quite young, and they never had the opportunity to grow up in a herd and really learn how to be an elephant and learn how to socialize in this very complex way. And, you know, we as humans know navigating through a complex social system can be difficult, and we kind of have to learn how to do that. So we try to help the elephants learn how to socialize and at least live their social life to the fullest that they can here in captivity. Because, of course, even though they may be on 2,100 acres, they are still captive elephants. So that's one aspect of their true being an elephant that we try to really help them achieve here at the sanctuary.
412-246-2002, the number to call to join the conversation with Margaret Whitaker. We have some folks on the line waiting to speak with you, Margaret. So let's start with Nicole from the South Hills. Nicole, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. I have a question for Margaret. I really appreciate that you're trying to be neutral in your discussion about the elephants. I happen to think that the use of elephants in circuses is barbaric, and I won't take my children to see the circus because of that. But my question is, do you think that there's some regulation coming in the near future to keep elephants out of the circuses?
I think that the best thing, if you are interested in protecting elephants from circuses, I think the best thing that you can do is work on a municipal or some sort of local level to ban the use of that training tool, the bull hook. And you may be aware that there are two major cities now, L.A. and Oakland, who have banned the use of the bull hook. And the Fulton County in Atlanta, Georgia, has banned the use of the bullhook. So I think when we can take local action, we have a real opportunity to begin to tell the circuses that our community does not find this practice acceptable.
Nicole, thank you for that question. Let's go to Noah from Upper St. Clair. Noah, you're on with Margaret Whitaker.
Hi, Margaret. Just had a question about internationally. I heard a program, elephants were put out of work in India because of their treatment, and like now they're starving. Is there anything that this program relates with like that type of situation?
When you're asking about this program, you mean here at the sanctuary?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, we are involved with helping some elephants in India. I don't know if you've followed the plight of, and the journey, I guess, now, of Sundar, who was a temple elephant. And many of the temple elephants in India live a pretty dismal life. They are typically confined to a very small space, often standing on that hard surface, which is not good for them at all. They're subjected to often cruel training methods, and they may be used in a ceremony once or twice a year. So I think the training, treatment of them, their entire life is unenriched, dismal, and certainly an abusive situation. And there are efforts to rescue some of these temple elephants, and Sundar was rescued and is now at the Bangalore Biological Park in India, where he's being socialized with other elephants. And I'm actually about to make a second trip over to India to begin his protected contact training.
Noah, thank you for that call. Another question that comes up, Margaret, should elephants be kept in zoos at all, in your opinion?
Well, my background is actually in zoos. I worked in zoos for a long time. I've worked as a consultant for nearly 20 years, helping people set up programs to enhance the care and welfare and treatment of captive animals, all types of animals. So should elephants be in zoos? I happen to think we maybe haven't done the best we can do yet by elephants. Does that mean that we can't do it? No. I think we need to put a lot of effort into focusing again on what makes an elephant an elephant. An elephant needs to socialize. They need to be in large social groups. The female, related females need to stay together. We need to provide them not only a lot of space, but complex space. So I think that the training methods obviously need to focus on protected contact and positive reinforcement. So does that mean that a zoo for an elephant is going to look like it does today? Absolutely not. I think we really need to look at changing the face of what a captive situation for an elephant looks like. And it is my hope that someday a situation like that will exist.
Margaret Whitaker has been our guest. She is the director of elephant care at the Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, Tennessee, the nation's largest natural habitat refuge developed specifically to meet the needs of endangered elephants. Margaret Whitaker, it's been a pleasure to talk with you and an enlightening conversation. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It was great chatting with you as well.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, we'll look into the report produced by our content partner, Public Source, on the Allegheny County-owned nursing homes, the Kane Regional Centers. It has been found that nurses are working high amounts of overtime. How does this impact care? We'll talk about that tomorrow. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.